What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Two Stripes Podcast, episode number 28. My name is Colton Denning, and I am your host, coming to you from Boulder, Colorado on June 28, 2017. Hope everybody's having a good week, and want to thank you for tuning into the show today. Not a whole lot going on along the college football front right now. We are in the dead period for recruiting, and there hasn't been a ton of news since Bob Stoops decided to step down at Oklahoma, but nonetheless, we continue to truck on right here on the Two Stripes Podcast, talking all things college football. If you guys want to listen to any of the old shows or follow along with the show, be sure to go to soundcloud.com/twostripespod or search Two Stripes Podcast on Apple Podcasts, and you can find all the old episodes there. And if you like the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. As for today's episode, this is one that I've wanted to do since the beginning of the offseason, and glad that I finally got a chance to knock this out. And I had the opportunity earlier this week to talk with the managing editor of GoodBullHunting.com, SB Nation's Texas A&M site, Rush Roberts, about Texas A&M football and Kevin Sumlin and everything going on with that program heading into what should be a fairly big 2017 season in terms of the future for Kevin Sumlin and where they're going to take that next step. Sumlin is perpetually on the hot seat, it seems like, and A&M seasons have kind of gone exactly the same over the last 3 or 4 years, where they've started off hot and cooled off considerably at the midpoint of the season and gotten into November, and they've struggled with LSU and struggled in that late season SEC schedule, and it's kind of been a disappointment for them the last few years. So it was interesting to get Rush's take on the job that Kevin Sumlin has done there and some of the things that I think people miss about the stability that he's brought to that program that historically, especially in the 90s and early and mid-2000s, especially under Mike Sherman, was prone to these wild swings year in and year out. So it was good to get perspective from somebody that keeps such a close eye on the program. Of course, we talked about on-field stuff with replacing the number one pick in this past year's NFL draft in defensive end Myles Garrett, and where Texas A&M's defense may be a little bit different than in years past. They're very strong up the middle on their defensive line. And then to see if they can get strong play from the linebackers to match what should be a pretty good secondary with Armani Watts leading the way at safety. And you can't talk A&M and Kevin Sumlin without talking about the offense. And so got Rush's perspective on the quarterback battle going on and why whoever wins that job is going to probably lean on the ground game, with sophomore running back Travion Williams, who had a really good freshman season. He's poised to take another step up. We talked a little bit about how the A&M running game is going to be the focal point of the team, as well as Christian Kirk, one of the most talented receivers and return men in the country, how between him and Travion Williams, it may be a lot of those two in offensive coordinator Noel Mazzoni's offense. To cap it off, we talked expectations for the 2017 season and what a good year would be for Texas A&M. So let's get right into it. Here is Rush Roberts of GoodBullHunting.com. And to talk everything Texas A&M football, I am joined by the managing editor of GoodBullHunting.com, Rush Roberts. Rush, thanks for joining the show, and how are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining. And like, I got to say, the name Rush Roberts is so damn cool. And I'm like, I'm a big fan of wrestling. And so I don't know if you watch, but I think Rush Roberts would be like the ultimate 80s wrestler name.
Yeah, like a Jake the Snake's cousin or something.
Yeah, throws like a mean drop kick and has an elbow finish off the top rope. I feel like that would be a solid 80s wrestler right there.
Yeah, or it could be like a lawyer on Better Call Saul, something like that.
Well, we are less than 70 days away from the start of Texas A&M's football season, 69 days to be exact, as we're recording this on Monday the 26th. And they're meeting up with UCLA at the Rose Bowl, and I'm sure you remember like those old kickoff classic games, and growing up as a kid, I remember those would always be the start to the season. And I feel like that game is going to be like that, but it's going to be like the hot take classic bowl, given how both of those programs are coming in to the season. Do you feel like no matter what happens in that game, that whoever loses, like, it's going to be rough?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Both teams, both programs kind of in the same position. And Mora had a little bit of a rougher year last year. But yeah, I think you're right. And the other thing is that's on a Sunday night. So it's the only thing, the only show in town that night. It's going to be a huge audience. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
To that point, since it's Sunday night, nothing else is going on. I feel like Texas A&M is almost, at least from like a media perspective or how the national media views them, they're almost in a non-win situation there, because if they win and they look really good, people are going to say, oh, well, you know, they do this every year. They start off strong. And then if they lose, it's like, oh, Kevin Sumlin, this is the year. He's not going to make it.
Yeah, he's finally lost the game at the beginning of the season. So yeah, it's kind of, if we win, it's meeting expectations. If we lose, then, oh man, just look out. You're going to see all kinds of hot takes.
Well, getting into that, A&M has gone 8-5 the last three seasons. And as somebody that covers the program, has it been pretty nauseating that for at least the last three seasons, it feels like that's the perception coming in every single year, and this year as well, is, oh, Kevin Sumlin's on the hot seat. He better watch out. A&M's poised to have another fast start, but they have a backloaded schedule and it may all crumble down again. How old does that get to hear?
It's been interesting watching how the seasons pan out, because, I mean, if you flip it around last year and say we lose to UCLA, but then beat LSU, that's a really different 8-5. But in that case, you know, we're not in the playoff. We're not ranked in the first playoff ranking. So it's just kind of, it's been a matter of strategic winning, I think, to kind of help him skate by after, you know, after these disappointing finishes. He'll either make some hires in the offseason, like when he went and got Chavis a couple years ago, or, you know, he hasn't won the last two bowl games. But, you know, it's been interesting in December to see kind of how he saves himself, so to speak. But yeah, I think it'd be really hard for him to go 8-5 this year and come back the year after, even though going 8-5 this year would be much more of an accomplishment than the previous few.
Well, and it seems like, at least from my perspective, as somebody that doesn't watch A&M every week, just looking at that program from the outside, that, yeah, they've had some of those fast starts, and maybe they haven't been able to get over the hump and beat a team like LSU. But, you know, a lot of programs, especially given A&M's history before Kevin Sumlin, would be very happy with four straight 8-win seasons. Do you think that that's something that kind of gets overlooked, is, hey, you know, they've maybe had some disappointing finishes, but he's really brought a little bit of stability to a program that in the past has been a little volatile?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think I wrote this in an article the other day. 8 wins is something that the program only got to 3 times since the turn of the century, before Sumlin got to town, once under Slocum, once under Fran, and once under Sherman. And if that's someone's baseline, then really historically we're doing pretty good. And so that's why I'm very leery of jumping on any, you know, fire someone bandwagons, because yeah, he's not taking us to an elite level, but his baseline is about 10 times higher than the previous couple of coaches. So he hasn't had a losing season at all. He's 8 wins is his worst year. So unless he starts going below 8 wins consistently, I don't think there's grounds for calling for his head. But that's not the way it works nowadays. You know, you have the facilities now, you have the recruiting grounds, and people expect a lot more than 8 wins, especially in the SEC West.
Looking into this season and some of what happened in spring ball, what do you think the overall feeling around the program is about where it's headed and where this season is? Is it guarded optimism? Is it a little bit of fear after Trevor Knight departs and maybe some of that stability at quarterback goes, Josh Reynolds leaves, and the number one pick, Myles Garrett, is off to the NFL?
I think, yeah, guarded optimism is a very optimistic way of putting it. I think people just don't know what to expect. We lost a very dynamic defensive player, best defensive player in the SEC, if not the country, and we lost a veteran QB who we knew he was only here for 1 year, but he was kind of the glue last year that held the team together in an uncertain period of transition after losing a couple QBs to transfer. So yeah, we will either be breaking in a new quarterback, or Jay Kubenak will get the nod, and he's a known entity. He's not, you know, the dynamic playmaker that Trevor Knight could be, but he has the most experience of anyone on the team. So yeah, it's kind of wait and see what happens. I kind of think personally that we'll get a heavy dose of the run game against UCLA. We have two returning running backs who are very good, Travion Williams and Keith Ford, and an offensive line that's decent. Several of them played a lot together last year. There's no standout player like we've had in years past, but that someone might emerge throughout the season.
Looking into that battle at quarterback, you brought up Jake Hubenak. Kellen Mond was a guy who was highly recruited out of the state of Texas. He joins this season. What was the read coming out of spring ball? Is it a two-man race between those two? Is Hubenak kind of maybe had the upper edge just because he's been around the program? But then you also have a guy like Mond who it seems like has the higher upside, though.
From what I can tell, it was those two and a guy named Nick Starkle, another, I think he's a redshirt freshman. So yeah, neither Mond or Starkle have seen any playing time, but from what I could tell from the spring game, it seemed like Starkle had a little bit better numbers. I know that doesn't mean anything, but yeah, it's going to be a three-way race between those three.
You brought up Travion Williams, the talented running back. He goes over 1,000 yards in his freshman season, and you pair that with Christian Kirk, maybe one of the most dynamic, not only receivers, but return men in the whole country, and those seem to be Texas A&M's two big skill position weapons. And offensive coordinator Noel Mazzoni kind of has a reputation throughout his stays through college football for getting lots of touches to his best players. Do you think at least early on, as maybe some more younger receivers get experience, that it's going to be a lot of those two as those other guys kind of get used to playing bigger roles?
Yeah, absolutely. I think really we lost like 35 receivers to the draft or graduation. I mean, there's not many guys coming back with any game experience. We have Damian Ratley, who's been kind of a role player. He actually played at Blinn with Hubenak. So they were teammates before and they transferred together. So he's got some experience. But beyond that, very few guys have seen game action. But we do have Josh Reynolds' younger brother coming up. A lot of talented young guys, but it's going to be up to Kirk to kind of be the guy out there making plays, at least till some other guys get in the rhythm. And we also have Keith Ford to spell Travion Williams, running back, kind of a bigger, more of a bruiser, while Travion's the faster guy.
You brought up the receivers, and for a while there, it did seem like everywhere you looked that A&M had receivers, and it felt like, I think three or four years ago, there was that class where it was all those 4- and 5-star receivers. How did people view that group of players as they went through the program? Because I remember Speedy Noyle maybe had the most amount of hype coming in, and then Ricky Seals-Jones was a 5-star guy. But Josh Reynolds, who may have been less heralded than both of them, turns out to be the best player in that. Was there any sort of grumbling about how A&M has used these receivers throughout their time in College Station?
I don't think so, because, I mean, most of those guys did get their shot. It just seems like they didn't really make the most of it. Ricky Seals-Jones was plagued by injuries for quite a while, and he also shifted around positions a lot. And I think he was one of the few guys who actually played with Manziel, so he saw like 3 offensive coordinator transitions. So he'll be fine, I think. Speedy Noyle maybe didn't make the most of his opportunities. Missed several games due to suspension. But yeah, I don't think there's any grumbling that they were misused.
So heading into this season, based off of what we know about the offensive line and maybe a green receiver core, and you have Keith Ford and Travion Williams, you think the biggest strength of this team is going to be running the ball, at least early on?
I hope so. But yeah, I think that'll be the tendencies, at least getting started, maybe some run and play action. And hopefully, I know we hope for this every year. Maybe we'll see some tight end usage this year. We've got a few good guys on the roster, so I think there's going to be a lot of people saying run the dang ball from right off the bat.
Well, that's very SEC right there. Switching to the defense, the major talking point, obviously, is going to be the loss of Myles Garrett, but looking at what A&M will do to replace him, who are some names to look out for as they look to, you know, you can't replicate a player like that, but at least try to fill those shoes.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty much impossible. He's kind of like a Von Miller, comes along maybe over 10 years or something. But yeah, I guess Quaylen Cunningham's got the most experience at defensive end. He's been kind of a role player in the past, but we've got a lot of good guys at defensive tackle to rotate in. Pretty deep, probably the deepest we've been since joining the SEC. Got Kingsley Kike, Daylon Mack, Zaykoven Henderson. Hopefully they'll be able to plug the middle and let the guys on the outside at least get some pressure. But mainly we're concerned, I guess, with linebacker. Pretty thin there. We've got Ataro Alaka coming back. He is missing time to injury. He's going to be a junior, but he's got the most experience and lost a couple guys to transfer and going to have to depend on some of the young guys. But feel pretty good about the secondary overall. I guess that's kind of the strength of the safeties. Donovan Wilson and Armani Watts are both very good, both kind of ball hawks, playmakers. Wilson can play at the nickel or at safety. So those are two guys to keep an eye on.
You brought up the interior on the line, and those are three guys that I wanted to talk about in Zakoven Henderson, Kingsley Keke, and Daylon Mack. And Daylon Mack was one of my favorite guys to watch in recruiting, and it's been fun to keep up with him. And it seems like he's had his ups and downs. And the story from spring was that he was trying to lose weight. Is this the year for him to kind of step up and become that player that a lot of people have thought that he could be?
I think it could be. There is an article that came out the other day that he did, in fact, lose weight again, Kevin Sullivan said. But no, I think he had a pretty big freshman year, kind of quiet sophomore season. But if he's in there able to play two or three snaps in a row and cause some havoc up the middle, he'll make some things happen. And yeah, he's just a fun kid to watch. He's really entertaining.
Was Daylon Mack the one that gave up his Chicken Express card?
Oh, yeah, that was him.
That is so awesome. So looking into that defense a little deeper, it seems like where they've really struggled in recent years has been linebacker play. And I don't know whether that's recruiting or just missing on some guys or not having the talent. But Anthony Hines was a kid that I watched from an Ohio State perspective and they were in on. But he ends up going to College Station. And he's a very highly touted player. Do you think that he's going to step in right away and he's going to be that guy to at least hopefully solidify linebacker play with them along with Alaka?
Yeah, I think it's possible just because of the lack of depth. And we even had lost a guy to transfer, even though couldn't really afford to with the numbers we had. So, yeah, it's absolutely possible true freshman could step right up and play right away.
What do you think the best-case scenario for this defense is in 2017?
Best case, I think, well, you're not going to have the gaudy sack totals like with a Myles Garrett, but kind of I'm hoping that the pass defense can get a little bit better and kind of make up for the little bit of drop-off on the run defense. But, yeah, I think it's hard to say. We always say that, oh, with our offense, we just need to be average on defense. But with this year's offense being kind of an unknown, I think we need the defense to be a little bit better than average. Maybe a top 40 defense should keep us in, you know, keep the end of the season interesting.
Looking at this year's schedule in the non-con, Texas A&M opens at UCLA, and there's also Nicholls State, ULL, and then New Mexico later in the season. And you would figure that at the very least, A&M will go 3-1. But getting into the SEC portion of it, the away schedule is a lot of fun for them, at least from a non-fan perspective for me, because you got matchups at Arkansas, at UF, which I think is the first time that they will go to the Swamp since joining the SEC, and then Ole Miss and LSU. What do you think out of those four, is getting two of those a must to get kind of back to 8 wins or above, or is that just hoping to get, you know, one out of that, or you think two is a must?
I think splitting those would be very good for us. Actually, the Arkansas game is Jerry World's neutral site, but that game every year is just so intense. I think it went to overtime 2 or 3 years in a row. It's like a road game, almost, you know. It's very neutral site game, even though I hate playing games there, but yeah, it's a pretty evenly split crowd. Yeah, I think if we can, we play Florida on the road a week after playing Alabama at home, so that's going to be just a brutal game. But yeah, I think splitting two of those four would be very good for us. Especially if we can get the win in Oxford. That'd be nice.
And then you look at the home slate, South Carolina, the Alabama game that you mentioned, and then Mississippi State, Auburn. Is that another one where you can split that, you're good with it, and then it maybe even if you can take that Auburn game, then that's just gravy?
I think getting three of those would be pretty good. Auburn, Mississippi State, South Carolina. But yeah, I mean, it all depends on, I think we'll find out a lot Labor Day weekend. We play UCLA of what we can expect later on.
What do you think A&M's pecking place is right now in the SEC West? Because it's such a brutal division.
Yeah, it is. I think we share sort of the middle ground tier. There's Alabama, obviously, first. There's LSU kind of right behind them. And then there's a big old pack, I think. Well, gosh, I don't know. Ole Miss and Mississippi State have kind of fallen off in the last couple, or at least last year they did. But and Arkansas always has that stretch in the season where they're really, everyone's just scared of them. Usually, fortunately for us, right after we play them. But yeah, I think we're about with Auburn right now, maybe a little bit behind Auburn. So I don't know, you know, 3 to 5 range.
What do you think is a fair expectation for A&M heading into the 2017 season?
I think win 9 games, and looking at the big picture, everyone should be happy.
Well, you heard it here first, 9 games. I hope they do it, because I'm sick of hearing people trash Kevin Sumlin. He's one of my favorite guys. I like watching A&M play. And if you want to keep up with anything Texas A&M football, you should go to goodballhunting.com. They are the funniest people on the internet, not just in college football, not in sports. I love going to the site and reading your guys' stuff. Always makes me crack up. You can also follow them at GB Hunting, and you can follow Rush on Twitter at Dr. Norris Camacho. And then you can listen to them as well on The Bullcast. That is their site podcast, and you can go to soundcloud.com/goodbullhunting to listen to all their episodes there. It is always a good time listening to them. And Rush, thank you for joining the show and talking Texas A&M football. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Loved it. Thanks for having me.
Big thanks to Rush Roberts for joining the show. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Dr. Norris Camacho. And then keep up with Good Bull Hunting on Twitter at GB Hunting and goodbullhunting.com. And make sure to listen to The Bullcast. Go to soundcloud.com/goodbullhunting and search The Bullcast on Apple Podcasts, and you can find their episodes there. As far as Texas A&M football goes, it's kind of the same thing it's been for the last 3 seasons. If they beat UCLA to open the year, then there's games against Nicholls State and Louisiana Lafayette at home. Those two are wins. And with all due respect to Arkansas and South Carolina, I think that A&M is clearly better than both of those teams. So if they beat UCLA, they should be 5-0 heading into the Alabama game. And, you know, that's Alabama. That's a loss. But they're going to have to find a way to not let that derail their season. And there are still games after that against Florida in the Swamp the next week, and then to close the season at LSU, and that's a team that they haven't beaten at all since joining the SEC. And if they're able to get one of those two games, then I think you'll see A&M have a very good chance at winning 9 games this year, but they got to prove that they can do it. And over the course of the last 4 years, there's been spots here and there. The game against Auburn on the road a couple years ago comes to mind, but there hasn't been consistent play from them late in the season. So it just remains to be seen whether or not that they can cross that threshold. And like Rush said in the interview, I think that Kevin Sumlin has established a nice baseline for the program, but at some point you got to clear that, especially if you're in the SEC West, going up against those teams week in and week out and recruiting against them all year long. You have to win those games and you have to play consistent. So we'll see if Texas A&M can do it this year. That's going to wrap up today's show, though. Want to thank Rush Roberts again for joining the show, and most importantly, want to thank you, the listener, for tuning into the show. If it was your first time, I hope you enjoy it. And head on over to soundcloud.com/twostripespod. Find all the old episodes there, and then subscribe on Apple Podcasts by searching the Two Stripes Podcast, and leave a review and let me know what I can do better to make this show the best college football podcast out there. I'll be back later on in the week talking Tennessee football with Rocky Top Talk. We're going to stick in the SEC. I've almost previewed every SEC team so far this offseason, so want to knock them all out, but excited to talk Tennessee football and another coach in Butch Jones looking to get his program to meet expectations as well. So looking forward to that. Be on the lookout for that on Friday. Until then, though, want to thank everybody for listening. My name is Colton Denning, and this is the Two Stripes Podcast.